didn't it? Genesis chapter 19. Let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Genesis chapter 19, verses 27 down to verse number 30. I'll read verse 27. I'd like to invite you to join with me and we'll read together verses 28 to 30. And then I'll pray. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which the Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the blessings of this past week. We rejoice in the camp ministry and the work that you have done in the hearts of those that were present, both workers and campers as well. And we rejoice in the work that you do continue to do within our hearts and lives. And we pray once again as we spend these few moments within the Word of God that you would do a work within our hearts, that we might be changed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I'd like to conclude Genesis chapter 19 this morning. We noted the bulk of the chapter last Sunday morning, and the title of my sermon this morning that pretty much sums up our study is that wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. Wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. We need to take responsibility for our thinking. We need to take responsibility for our thinking, because wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. Within this passage of Scripture, we have just read that Abraham views from the distance the destruction of these wicked cities, the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah. Abraham is safe, lost no sleep, arises and spends time with his God, because Abraham has been obedient to the Word of God. And then we read on in verse number 30 that after a brief time in Zoar, which is a neighboring little city to these two cities that were destroyed, the word Zoar means near. And Lot pleaded, he didn't want to go to the mountain. He said, can we take refuge in Zoar, which means near? See, Lot didn't want to separate fully. There was still an inclination there. So he wanted to be near. But once he saw the flames and he noted Sodom and Gomorrah went up like a blazing inferno, he got a little bit nervous. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 30 that he went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. So after a brief time in Zoar, Lot and his two daughters moved to a cave in the mountain. Bear in mind that Lot was a very successful individual within the city of Sodom, had an important job, and no doubt enjoys all the luxuries of that day, but now he finds himself in a cave. Lot's daughters were raised in Sodom, and this no doubt affected their lives and their worldview. Lot's daughters were affected by their sinful environment. And we will see that they made some deliberate sinful choices that stem back to wrong thinking. These choices flow from minds that were distorted by sin. My friend, this morning, our mind, your mind and my mind, is a spiritual domain. And it's so critically important that we fill our minds with that which is spiritual. That we fill our minds with the Word of God. Otherwise, our minds will be affected by our sinful nature, the world, and the devil. Wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. I'd like for us to note this morning what I call the distorted minds of Lot's daughters. Their minds were distorted. And you'll see why in a moment. The distorted minds of these two daughters that led to a sinful decision, led to a sinful choice. The Bible teaches us we need to guard our minds. In 1 Peter 1:13, the Bible reads, "Wherefore gird up," or belt up, "take control of the loins of your mind. What you think upon is your choice." To make the excuse, "Well, Pastor, I can't help it." Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And even though Lot's daughters were raised in a sinful environment, and you might say, well, it was their environment that produced the end result. Now, we understand that your environment, the way you are raised, or the environment you are raised in, will have some effect upon you. But that is no excuse for the choices that we make. The father of modern day psychology, Sigmund Freud, whole ideal was that you are made by your surroundings, your environment. Sigmund Freud was not a godly man. He denied God, had no time for God, denied the reality of sin. And this mindset that dominates psychology today would simply say that you are a byproduct of your environment. There is no doubt that your upbringing does affect you. But that doesn't disregard the fact that you can make deliberate choices. A person, for example, that is raised in a home where the father is an alcoholic doesn't mean that the children will become alcoholics. And if they become alcoholics, then Sigmund Freud would say, well, they are the product of their environment, they could not help it, they were raised by an alcoholic, and therefore they are alcoholics. Nothing further from the truth of the Word of God. Yes, that child that's raised in a home that is dominated by alcohol could turn around and choose that same lifestyle. And I say choose that same style. So I say all that to say that Lot's daughters were raised in an environment that was wicked and sinful, and God reveals to us exactly what He thinks of sodomy by destroying those cities completely. But yet that sodomy is still within the hearts of these young ladies. And their minds were distorted. And I'd like for us to just take a few moments this morning and just take seriously the fact that wrong thinking leads to wrong actions, and we need to be careful that we guard our minds and we choose to think biblically. Because if we do not think biblically, it will reap sin. It will reap that which dishonors Almighty God. And we see what happens in this passage of Scripture, something that is very dishonorable to God. And it all stems back to distorted minds, wrong thinking. So let's just consider for a moment this morning, the type of thinking that could lead to some sinful choices. The first principle I'd like for us to note from verse number 30 is that we see within the daughters of Lot delayed obedience. They were privy to the fact that they, with their father, did not heed the original command to go to the mountain. They were privy to the fact that the father appealed and said, "Can we take refuge in Zoar?" Delayed obedience. And look and behold then, verse number 30, they went out of Zoar. I don't imagine they were there for very long. As they noted the flames of Sodom and Gomorrah, I would dare say they got a little bit nervous and said, "Well, we're a little bit too close." Because Zoar was near Sodom and Gomorrah. The word Zoar means near. And they were fearful, so they moved up into a cave, the Bible teaches us, in the mountain. And the first point I want to make this morning is that God told them to get to the mountain in the first place. Now they are doing what God had told them. We need to obey God immediately. We need to obey God fully. And we need to obey God joyfully. Immediately, fully, joyfully. Let's say it together. Immediately, fully, joyfully. That is obedience. Obedience is obedience immediately, fully, joyfully. There was delayed obedience by Lot and the two daughters. And may I submit to you, my friend, this morning, if that is you and I, then we are opening our minds up. And it will distort the mind. Delayed obedience will distort your thinking and could be the very seed that will one day germinate and produce something wicked and vile and dishonorable to God. Delayed obedience. May we be like Abraham of old, who obeyed God immediately. When God told him to leave his country of upbringing, he obeyed. When God said to him, "Surrender your son Isaac," he obeyed. Abraham is a wonderful example of obeying God immediately, fully, and no doubt joyfully. Delayed obedience will distort your thinking. Wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. The Bible teaches us to obey God is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. God wants obedience. God doesn't want your givings. God wants you to simply obey. Are you listening to me this morning? God wants us to obey. Obey immediately, fully and joyfully. Otherwise, it will have an effect upon your mind. For those of you that are delaying obedience to the Word of God right now, you are paying a price for that. It is affecting your mind. It's distorting distorting your mind. And it could lead to something vile and dishonorable to Almighty God. Parents, let me encourage you to encourage your children to obey immediately. Yes, Mum, yes, Dad, move. In a minute, Dad, no, now. Otherwise, you are training your children not the right way. Delayed obedience. They should have gone up to the mountain straight away. But they said, no, can we just go to Zoar? Yes, we'll leave Sodom and Gomorrah, but can we just go to Zoar? Delayed obedience will distort your mind and could lead to sin. Verse number 30 reads, Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now let's read on verse number 31. What else do we see from this passage of Scripture? Look at verse 31. And the firstborn, the eldest daughter, said unto the younger, Our father is old, which is not true. Lot wasn't that old. That's exaggeration. That won't get you anywhere either. Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. So we see, number one, delayed obedience within this passage of Scripture. Number two, we see another type of wrong thinking. We see doubt. We see doubt. We not only see delayed obedience, we see doubt. The older daughter said to the younger one, we will never get married and we will never have any children because our father is so old. Now, what did that have to do with anything? Nothing. Their whole life was lived in Sodom. And these two daughters failed to see that there was a larger world still in existence outside of Sodom. Where is God in this equation? Nowhere to be seen. There's no doubt in my mind that Lot's daughters were not saved. No evidence of the workings of God within them, but the Bible does teach us in 2 Peter, please, 2 Peter chapter 2, concerning Lot. Many would question whether Lot was really saved. Well, here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it reads, And delivered just Lot, justified Lot, but vexed with the filthy conversation, the lifestyle of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So note from this passage of Scripture, the Bible refers to Lot as being just and being righteous. But Lot was infected by the wicked surroundings that infected his heart and led to the wrong choices that he made. And there is no evidence in the Scriptures that the daughters were just. The daughters were righteous. It all stems back to a man that made a wrong choice initially. And beloved, let me encourage you this morning. Wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. These daughters not only were a part of delayed obedience, they were also a part of doubt. They doubted as to whether they would ever get married or have children. We need to replace delayed obedience with immediate obedience, fully, joyfully, and we need to replace doubt in our minds with faith. Have faith in God, the Bible teaches us. Mark 11:22. The Word of God is full of great promises. In fact, some 7,000 of them for God's people. God can be trusted, my friend, in our time of need. But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Doubt will distort your mind. Doubt will distort your mind and could be the very thing that will lead you to a sinful end. These daughters doubted. How micro-minded they were. Just because Sodom and Gomorrah, as if Sodom and Gomorrah had the total of all potential husbands. That's how distorted their minds were. There is nobody. And you girls this morning, you young men, don't be trapped in doubting whether God has an Adam or an Eve for you. You be careful and be careful of doing something that is contrary to the Word of God because you've convinced yourself there is not a godly Christian man in the world. Or there is not a godly Christian lady in the world left on planet Earth. The last one was married a couple months ago. That's distorted thinking. Where's God in that? There's no God in these two daughters. And there's no God in that type of thinking. You be careful, young people. It's God's will that a young Christian man marry a young Christian woman. I say a young Christian man marry a young Christian woman. That is the will of God. Anything outside of that is sinful. And let me just say, for those of you that have made wrong choices, you need to stand up and tell the younger people, I made a wrong decision. It pities me to the core that I find that couples that marry an unbeliever justifying their sin. You need to be humble enough to admit your sin and protect this next generation. Amen. That's a bonus. What's going to distort your mind? Delayed obedience and doubt. Doubt needs to be replaced with faith. They doubted. Not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. After all the manner of all the earth. And then we see desperation. Delayed obedience, doubt. Now we're getting desperate. They're afraid that they'll never be married. They're afraid that they will never have children. In verse 32 it reads, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They were afraid of never having children. Now, within the biblical setting, to be childless was considered shameful. That's true. If you were without a child as a married woman, then you would be frowned upon. Within the biblical setting. And no doubt these women, these young ladies were afraid of that shame and no doubt wanted a husband and wanted children. So they started thinking
outside the box. Desperation. They were impatient. Let me say to you, my friend, when we fail to patiently wait upon the Lord, it will affect our minds. It will manifest itself in wrong actions. King Saul disqualified himself as king in a moment of desperation. What will distort your thinking that will lead to sin, delayed obedience, doubt, and desperation? These women were desperate. We want children. How are we going to have children? Desperation. Desperation needs to be replaced with patience. Let's say it together. Patience. One more time. One more time. Patience. Patience. Oh, what a beautiful word. Quite relaxing, isn't it? Patience. The opposite of desperation is patience. A distorted mindset is desperate. That's distortion, and that will lead to a sinful outcome. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10:36, "For ye have need of patience." And yes, we do. "That after ye have done the will of God," done the will of God, "he might receive the promise." Desperation needs to be replaced with patience. Doubt needs to be replaced with faith. Delayed obedience needs to be replaced with immediate obedience. And then in verse number 32, we're told that they devised their own plans of how they were going to get their children. Look at verse 32. This is what we'll do to get our children. We want children. We want to preserve seed. We want to have a continuing family. Our mother's dead. Dad's old, and he really wasn't that old. We want to keep the family history going. The rest of the family's all dead, swallowed up in Sodom. So they devised their own plan. And you be careful. You be careful of brainstorming outside the box of the Word of God. You be careful. Quickly, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 gives us practical advice here. Look at verse 5 to verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." No need to be to work it out on your own. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." What were these two daughters doing? Leaning on their own understanding. There's not a fella in the earth left to marry. If there's no fellas, we'll never get married, therefore we'll never have children. How can we preserve our family? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." Look at verse 6. "In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him." Lord, what do you want me to do? "And he shall do what? Direct thy paths." There's a promise there. Look at verse 7. Look at this. "Be not what? Wise. In thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil." Praise God. There it is. So these two women devised their own plans. And you be careful of devising your own plans outside of the box of the Word of God. Isaiah 55 verse 9, God tells us that He's, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." We need to replace devising our own plans with simply saying, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do? That's good thinking. Back to Genesis chapter 19, please. Are you still with me? We're talking about distorted thinking. And you might say, oh, these two daughters, they were rotten. They were filthy. They were twisted. Yes, they were. But what led to that? The same sins that you and I can commit. Delayed obedience. Doubt. Desperation. Doing it my way. I'm going to do it my way. No worry, no stress. I'll do it my way. And this desperation and devising their own plans led to what? Deliberate disobedience. Look at verses 33 to 35. This is wicked. It's so wicked, I'm not going to read it. You read it. Go ahead, you read it. You read it. No, don't have to read it out loud. You read it in your heart. You think about what these girls did. What did they do? Don't answer me, you just answer yourself. Now look up here. Was that wicked? Vile. So what we have here, another example of distorted thinking, we have what I call deliberate disobedience to the Word of God. They got their father drunk. Who knows where they got the alcohol from? I could just imagine Lot marching out of Sodom with a bottle of whiskey in one hand and maybe two dozen under the other, maybe, I don't know. But they got a hold of that filthy alcohol. The daughters got him drunk. And then they committed incest with him. Deliberate disobedience to the Word of God. And I want you to focus upon that. Deliberate disobedience to the Word of God. They deliberately disobeyed the clear teachings of the Word of God. Morally and to do with drunkenness, clear violation of the Word of God. And let me say to you, my friend, this morning, Happy New Year, but if you deliberately disobey the Word of God, it's going to screw your mind up. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is. And some of your minds are twisted, and it's going to lead to filthy actions at the end because you are deliberately disobeying the plain teachings of the Word of God. Deliberately disobeying the Word of God. And you will reap the consequences of that. Get my point? And it's messing your mind up. You know what the Bible teaches, and you are deliberately disobeying the clear teachings of the Word of God. And you think you can get away with it? You think it's not going to affect your mind? You think it's not going to end up causing you to commit a vile sin like incest even? You're gullible. You are gullible. Verse 36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child. Oh, happy ending, Pastor. Oh, Isn't that lovely?
Read on. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their what? Oh. That's lovely, is it? The firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The name Moab means from father. She's not ashamed of what she's done. Moab, from father. The same is the father of the Moabites.
Oh,
unto this day. The younger, and the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami. Heard of Amy Insurance? Ben-Ami. Ben-Ami means son of my people. So neither of these are ashamed of what they've done. They're not ashamed, in other words, of the father of their sons. Not ashamed of it. Unashamed of their sin. They broadcast it in the names given. And my friend, listen to me. Moab became the father of a nation known as the Moabites. Ben-Ami became the father of a nation known as the Ammonites. The Moabites lived, dwelt to the east of the Dead Sea up north. That was their territory. The Ammonites below them south, they were more nomadic. They floated around, very nomadic people. They were down south. The Moabites and the Ammonites, though they were related to Israel, caused Israel so much strife, so much heartache. And all of this stems back to two daughters whose thinking was not correct. The Moabites and the Ammonites were not only wicked, they were not only godless, but they constantly opposed God's people. Gave them strife. Gave them hell. You can read that in the pages of the Old Testament. In fact, it even teaches us that Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. These nations were not only godless, they were constant enemies of Israel. These two daughters birthed two big headaches for Israel. Huge headaches. Their sin birthed major headaches for Israel. Let me ask you this morning, what headaches are you birthing for others by your wrong choices? What headaches are you birthing for others by your wrong choices that stem back to wrong thinking? Beloved, this morning, listen to me. We need to think biblical. We need to be thinking biblically. Otherwise, sin will distort our minds and lead to further sinful actions. Lot was able to take his daughters out of Sodom, but he was not able to take the philosophy of Sodom out of his daughters. You might be saying, oh, Pastor, come on. Get off the grass. Don't worry about me. I'm not going to do anything so vile and so wicked as what they did. That will not be me. Hey, listen to me, Uncle Sam. What was the thinking? Delayed obedience.
doubt. Desperation. Devise our own plan. Deliberate disobedience. Are any of those foreign to you and I? Talk to me. Are any of those foreign to you and I? But where did that lead? Where did that lead? That's our concern. So please take delayed obedience seriously. Parents, you take it seriously. Take doubt seriously. Where will this lead? Take desperation seriously. Take doing it your own way seriously, and take deliberate disobedience to the Word of God seriously. Because they're all the produce of distorted thinking that will lead to vile sins. I mean, how proud they must have been to have, look, within the biblical setting, to have a son, first and foremost. It was like winning the lottery. To have a son of the firstborn. So they were pumping. And then in their vileness, they named their sons and made it very evident to all that our father is their father. Not their grandfather, their father. Our father, their father. And they were proud of that fact. Produced two nations that caused major headaches for Israel. And some of your distorted thinking this morning is going to cause some major headaches for those that love you. Some of you young people, you're not thinking right, and you will cause some major headaches for your parents. I see it time and time again. Wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. Do you believe me? Huh. I think it's clear. Oh, Pastor, that'll never be me. That's wicked and that's vile. Pastor, you should not have even mentioned such horrible things in church. Listen, it's in our Bible for a reason. And you need to hear it. And your children need to hear it. And we need to take sin seriously. And some of you parents need to take sin seriously. Take sin seriously with your children. In fact, we as God's people need to take sin seriously. And where that sin will lead. Oh, Pastor, never be me. Oh, I've heard that before. May God spare us. And I don't know about you, I don't want to cause anybody any headaches unnecessarily. If I can cause a good headache by making you feel uncomfortable this morning, I'm happy. You're saying to yourself right now, Pastor, I have a headache now. Good. Take a spiritual Panadol. Amen. Here it is. The Bible. Amen. Obedience. Faith. Patience. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and choose to obey the clear teachings of the Word of God. Oh, God, spare us. Let's pray.